Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Well, Chris, I have one good thing to say about this week, and that is no one else has tried to hack our site yet or our servers.
Yep, that's good.
Right. Well, if they do it, they'll try a different way. I think anyone who wants to take control of any site or server, even the Pentagon, even the CIA, they'll find a way to get in there, like Gary McKinnon. You heard what happened to Gary McKinnon, right?
Yeah. The Brits aren't going to allow him to be extradited.
If we go back a few years, McKinnon apparently broke into some Pentagon sites, I gather. And this is interesting because these sites were using the password. You know, if you use a password like that, a default password that a system might set up. And the people who set up those sites, they're supposed to change the password to something that is secure. So somebody in the government, this goes back a number of years, didn't do that. So this guy gets in there, I guess partly in search of UFO-related information, right?
That was the motivation, yeah. And he did it on a dial-up computer, like a Commodore 64, some archaic old computer, if I remember correctly. And was able to peruse quite a number of documents, including the very enigmatic document that had the statement about, I think, 155 off-planet naval officers, if memory serves me correct, which kind of raised a few eyebrows when that was announced.
Well, now we know there is a secret space program. Maybe Mike Barrett was right.
Yeah, boy. I think there is. I mean, I've always suspected that. I've always suspected that we have had advanced exotic technology since the end of World War II.
Now, just to let people know, one of the issues with Gary McKinnon is that he apparently has Asperger's syndrome, that's what they say, and that's kind of an autism disorder. And the only remembrance I have of anything with Asperger's syndrome is this TV show called Boston Legal, where one of the lawyers, played by Christian Clemenson, really great character actor, supposedly has Asperger's syndrome, exaggerated to the nth degree.
Yeah. Well, that's the inability to pick up social signals, I think, and facial clues and body language.
Yeah, that was it. And he had to learn to try to control his emotions and his response to people. Of course, I don't have much in the way of social skills, but my disease has no description. That's different than most people. My disease has no description whatever.
Dinosauritis.
Well, I have that too, as a matter of fact. Of course, from moving this past week, I have a tremendous backache. So all the back exercises I do have become extremely painful. And someone will tell me, well, if it hurts, don't do that. Don't do the exercises. Let your back rest. Don't try to lift any heavy things. Get lots of rest, relaxation, painkiller pills. But what do I know? In any case, back to McKinnon.
Yeah.
So they wanted to extradite him to the United States and throw him in prison for what? If he got convicted 30, 40 years or something? Crazy.
Yeah. And I guess the British authorities are concerned about his mental state and that this may put him at risk for suicide.
Well, of course, you have to also be considerate of the person who commits the crime. Not that a crime wasn't committed, but we're talking about a kid who's has emotional difficulties. We're talking about someone who was just looking for UFO information. And we're talking about the fact that the computers or servers were not properly protected. I mean, I could have gotten in there. You could have gotten in there. I'd say anybody listening to the Paracast with the most rudimentary computer skills, for example, could have gotten into those computers because they weren't protected. Who's minding the store?
Yeah. Well, locks only keep out honest people, as they say, so.
Well, there is that. So, who knows? Rather crazy. Let's get back to the secret space program and all that stuff. Now, Mike Barra, I guess, had a lot of really fascinating information when he came on the show. But the thing that bothered me, and you may have gotten a sense of it, and we'll deal in respect to the person who presented the opposition, the more traditional point of view, Mr. Expat. Well, the problem with Mike Barrett is that the people who disagree with him are not just disagreeing, they are stalking him.
Yeah.
They're stupid. Oh. You know, and also they have to be gay because straight people can't possibly disagree with him. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah.
What does the sexual preference have to do with anything?
Yeah.
In China or anything like that.
Yeah. This is true.
And even if he had a case, that makes his case more difficult to accept. Whereas expat is a proper British gentleman, and he didn't insult anybody. He simply presented his facts and his figures. And as I said, you want to disagree with him? Fine, maybe he's wrong. But not like we have a new visitor to our forums with, amongst his username, is the word Martian.
Yeah.
And you're aware of this. This guy has posted some very incendiary comments, and he wants to be on the show. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I missed that one.
Oh, yeah. This guy wants to be on the show, and he feels he has all sorts of really valuable information. And I can't understand the point, except maybe that Hoagland, Richard Hoagland, the guy who talks about the face on Mars and the lunar mysteries and all that, that he is some kind of government disinformation agent.
Well, didn't this new poster mention that Hoagland's sitting on some bombshell photographs or something?
Well, let's see them. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence in that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. At this point, I wrote a letter to this guy with the word Martian in his username. And I said, okay, fascinating stuff. He says he wants to be on the show. Where is the evidence?
No.
His response was to ask me to become a friend on Facebook, which doesn't really help get us information. So I said, yes, okay. He didn't bother me. He insulted some of our members in the forums, though, with a lot of incendiary language.
No.
And that is the same syndrome here. You know, the problem of someone disagrees with you, you don't just point out where they may be factually incorrect. You call them douchebags or whatever. He used different words, words that we can't even use on the radio.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Whenever you talk about moon, people get loony.
Yes.
They get kind of lunatic-like, and especially full moon times. So people sprout hair in places it's not supposed to grow. And
well, that's something which we're going to cover with our guest this week, so it's funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is here, when we talk about Mars, they become mad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it gets to be pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, that's for sure.
It sure has. And this week is a segue to something totally different, or maybe not. Maybe not totally different, because... And as they say in that legendary movie... Even a man who is pure in heart and says his prayers by night may become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the autumn moon is bright. It sounds to me like the werewolf has a sore throat.
No, the werewolf here didn't get enough sleep last night.
Oh, tell me about it.
Oh, I was... Finally gave myself a night out, and I'm regretting it.
Sounds like it. You need the painkillers, too. We both need painkillers, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not in favor of taking all sorts of medications. I think they can block your thought processes. But here, you know, I don't know. Anyway, on this week's episode, we'll feature Linda Godfrey. And she's author of a book called Real Wolfmen, True Encounters in Modern America. So are we searching for Larry Talbot, the Wolfman? Is it possible that there are shapeshifters? Although I don't know if she believes that. But can men become wolves or women when the full moon is bright, or otherwise it will, like in the TV show True Blood? We have all this and more coming up this week with Gene and Chris, because you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, here's what I believe. I believe to be successful in business, you need to be able to meet with your team on a regular basis, wherever you are. So discuss plans, for example, share ideas and bring them to life. But with clients and colleagues working from different offices or on the go, meeting face-to-face is not often possible. That is, unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. You know, GoToMeeting with HD Faces gives your team the ability to share the same screen, making it easier to be on the same page. I want you neighbors to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait. Check this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing, neighbors. GoToMeeting.com.
Good day, Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. Today is October 19th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,735.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,778.17, $889.08 for a half ounce, and $444.54 for a quarter ounce. $1,735.30, $889.08, and $444.54.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our TruCool process, you now have a choice with One World Whey.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Whey, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris this week, we're going to have a great time because we have, I guess we'll call her the werewolf lady herself, Linda Godfrey. She's author of Real Wolfmen, True Encounters in Modern America. Linda, you seem to be trotting some of the ground that's also been covered by people like Brad Steiger. You know Brad?
I do. He's become a good friend. He and his wife, Sherry, yeah.
We had him on a few weeks ago. Brad is someone I've known for 30 or 40 years.
Right, and Brad has an amazing number of books out, and his knowledge is encyclopedic. However, we do, I think, tread different ground because mostly what I do is collect contemporary sightings of unknown upright canines, you know, where he doesn't really specialize in any one thing. He just writes about everything with great finesse and knowledge. So
tell us about your background. Before you were studying man-wolves or werewolves or whatever. What got you involved in the paranormal? Is that your day job?
No, not really. I actually started out as an artist and cartoonist, and I have a degree in art education. But I wanted to make editorial cartoons and was having a little trouble getting syndicated, so I went to the local newspaper and said, I'll just do cartoons for you for free. But they hired me as a reporter and a cartoonist. So one of the first stories out of the block for me was about a rumor that was going around my own hometown of Elkhorn, Wisconsin, which was that people were reporting seeing what they called a werewolf, for lack of a better word, on this two-mile stretch of country road called Bray Road. And it seemed ludicrous to me at first. I did have some previous study and knowledge of the paranormal, but not cryptozoology, you know. And it never occurred to me that anybody would actually see something that looked like a werewolf in real life. But what I found out when I poked into it a little bit was that they were actually submitting reports to our county animal control officer. And when I dropped over by his office, he showed me that he had a manila file folder marked werewolf.
Oh, now, boy.
When you've got a county official with a file folder marked werewolf, that's news. You know, everything else just shuts down and it's, okay, we're going after this.
So that he doesn't go howling at night, though.
No. He said, well, he didn't know what to call it either. It was mostly for lack of a better word. But he shared with me the names and addresses of the people who had been calling into him. And I thought, first of all, that's interesting in itself, because if somebody's playing a prank or pulling a hoax, you don't usually go and report yourself to the county official who could later, you know, jail you for endangering public safety or something like that.
I think it'd be stupid if you revealed your real name, although, you know, these days they know where you are and they know what you're doing.
Right.
You don't have to reveal anything.
But this was 20 years ago,
December of
1991.
These reports are actually now quite infamous. The Bray Road case has been ongoing for quite some time. I can't wait to hear about your work. I wanted to point out as well that we both started out exactly the same. I
really?
Started out doing cartoons for my little local paper, and they hired me as a reporter. And
no way.
These incredible sightings, and I thought it was I was going to write a kind of a tongue-in-cheek piece about it. And
exactly.
And lo and behold, here I am 20 years later.
No way.
Still looking for a day job, Chris, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, still looking for a day job, right, Gene?
Same here. Same here. Yep, exactly. But, you know, the other thing was that when I went out and interviewed these people, they did not seem crazy to me, and they did not appear to be lying. And I just was also struck by how different they all were. You know, there was a young single mother. There was an elderly woman returning from a factory. There were a couple of farmers. You name it. They were young, old, blue-collar, white-collar, all over the map. And I thought, well, something is going on here. Even if it's nothing more than folklore, you know, that should be recorded. Or if there's an animal that's dangerous and some sort of predator that people should know about it, regardless, I felt that with those two things and the fact that there was a file folder marked werewolf in the county office, that it deserved to be a story, and my editor agreed. But we didn't expect it to go on for so long. We thought 2 weeks, people will talk and yuck it up, and then it'll be forgotten. Well, within 2 weeks, it had gone national. And I had started appearing on national TV shows like Inside Edition, radio shows from one side of the country to the other. And 20 years later, it's bigger than ever and has expanded.
Well, before we get into more of the case histories, this part of Wisconsin, can you give a picture of it, kind of discuss the geography and the population and all that stuff in terms
sure.
of our listeners understanding it?
Well, with the caveat that this is not the only place these sightings occur,
sure.
Southeastern Wisconsin is somewhat populated. You'll find the cities of Madison and Milwaukee about an hour's drive apart. Bray Road is probably an hour from each of them. There are not only lots of farm fields, corn fields, things like that, but also we're home to what is known as the Kettle Moraine Forest, the southern unit of it. And this is a really unique geographical feature where there are just hundreds and thousands of acres of strange, deep, bowl-shaped depressions that were carved out by the glacier with ridges in between them. And as I've mapped these things, I really keep believing that that area is the key to these sightings because they could just hide so many things.
Well, the one thing, of course, that we do hear about different parts of the country is the word window area, where they seem to attract more paranormal events. Is it just man-wolves, wolfmen, or is it other stuff?
Oh, no, not at all. Usually where you find the man-wolf or the dog-man, you also find Bigfoot. Often there are concentrated UFO hotspots in the area, large unidentifiable flying birds, that kind of thing. So John Keel's idea of window areas really does apply to hotspots for sightings of the dog-man.
Okay. How about a case history? Maybe one instance where it seems to paint the general picture of what's going on with a few details.
Well, there are so many to pick from, but let me just give you one scenario. There was a man near Kilgore, Texas, who a few years ago was driving along late at night. He sees something in the high beams of his car. He slows down, and it is a dog or wolf-headed, upright, 7-foot-tall creature loping along, carrying a dead yearling deer in its forelimbs. And this is such a classic scenario. It turns its head. The man can see that it's clearly not a human in any kind of a suit. He can see the muzzle and the fangs dripping and the pointed ears on top of the head. The thing growls at him, not at all in a frightened way, but in a very aggressive way. And the man steps on the gas and just keeps going.
Okay, so this is very much like the werewolf we see in a lot of movies. And werewolves have been shown different ways, and you'll get into more detail about this. Sometimes they just look like wolves, and like in the TV show True Blood, they have glowing eyes to distinguish them from regular wolves. Or it's like, of course, the movie werewolf like The Wolfman, where it's an upright person who sprouts a wolf-like head sort of kind of, with hairy arms and claws and hairy legs and all that sort of stuff. Our guest this week is Linda Godfrey, and we're going to go deep into the paranormal, deep into the world of real wolfmen, true encounters in modern America. And we'll cover a lot of those encounters with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio.
Feedback Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
the biggest and best preparedness expo in America.
GetPreparedExpo.com.
Coming November 3rd and 4th at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds,
Springfield, Missouri.
GetPreparedExpo.com. This year, a whopping 175 seminars and exhibits
with instructors
GCN's Vincent Finelli
from USA Prepares,
plus the freeze-dry guy, Jeff Olson, Dr. Norman Sheely, Matt Stein, Dr. Joel Wallach, Larry Pratt, John Moore, Lisa Bedford, Marjorie Wildcraft,
and 50 more.
GetPreparedExpo.com, November 3rd and 4th.
Download coupon flyers
and $8 discount coupons at GetPreparedExpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in America. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, November 3rd and 4th at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds,
Springfield, Missouri.
If you're not prepared, GetPreparedExpo.com.
Are you or someone that you love struggling to reclaim your health? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, CEO of RNADrops.com. In 2008, I struggled with chronic fatigue syndrome, PTSD, and Lyme's. I thought that all hope was gone as I lost everything in the process. In 2009, a miracle happened. I discovered Ion and RNA Drops. 2 months after taking RNA Drops, the chronic fatigue and the PTSD had vanished into thin air. I'd like to invite you to discover RNA Drops by visiting www.rnafreemini.com today. That's rnafreemini.com today. Listen to hours of testimonials and get a free trial bottle. Pay only shipping and handling by visiting www.rnafreemini.com.
Or give us a call at 1-888-550-8231. That's 888-550-8231. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We return with Linda Gottfried. We're exploring wolfmen. And you talk about this case in Texas, Linda, where it's an upright creature with kind of like a wolf's head.
Right.
Is that typical of what we see? Or are they different shapes?
No, that's a really typical sighting. And beyond that, people will add usually that it was covered with dark colored shaggy fur, sometimes gray, you know, which is a variation you might expect within a wolf pack. Pointed ears on top of the head, a long pointed muzzle. Usually the eyes will reflect in the headlights either a golden greenish yellow tone, something like that. If the tail is sighted, it's described as bushy like a wolf's. And then this is how I know, Gene, that they're really looking and observing. They'll say something like, well, it ran or walked really well on its hind legs, but its legs were bent backwards. And what they mean by that is they're observing that, like falk canines, it's walking on its toe pads. And what would be analogous to the human heel and ankle joint, where we expect to see that on the ground if it's a human, and then a knee going forward, that's really up in the air. It's pointing the other way, then the knee bends, and the knee on the canine is somewhere up around what we would call expect to see as the thigh. So it tells me that they're observing canine physiology very closely. The other thing they'll often say is, well, it ran easily, but it was a little hunched over. That's just because the canine neck is not really made to be upright like the human spine. You know, it just has a skeletal difference that shows up when it walks on its hind legs. The arms or forelimbs are usually described as being held out like a dog that's begging, or sometimes they'll say like a kangaroo, or the way that you would expect to see if you envision one of those dancing dogs on, you know, one of the TV star reality shows. They always have their little arms folded up in front of them. The difference with these creatures is that they seem to have elongated paws and that they're able to do things like carry a deer. I've had many reports of them carrying deer, roadkill of some kind, unidentifiable carrion in their forelimbs while they're running along. You know, and it seems to me that that probably is a real advantage if you want to keep your food, you don't have to drag it on the ground.
Well, the word werewolf, the way we understand it from movies and books and everything, is that they could be either a man or this creature. So do these creatures turn, or is that their shape 24/7?
I believe that in most cases that's their shape. Well over 90% of the sightings that I get refer to some kind of creature that doesn't really do anything supernatural. It's behavior is, and it has no human parts. You know, if you saw a dead one lying on the road, it would just look like some enormous wolf or wolf-dog hybrid, perhaps.
But okay, it's not like they die and they become like the guy down the street.
Not according to any eyewitnesses that I've ever had report to me. Now, this is not to say that I don't believe there can be separate instances of classic shape-shifting or other things coming into play. You know, I'm not sure that every single sighting has to be the same exact thing. And in fact, there's a subclass that I call bedroom invaders, where people will wake up or be awake already and see these things materialize in their homes. Sometimes the bedroom, sometimes the sunny living room. And they're, in those cases, they appear sometimes just slightly translucent. They're usually black furred, often short black fur. People will compare them to Anubis, Egyptian god of the dead. And usually they look around, they appear, they make their presence known, and then they just poof, disappear.
All right, so with that, we're seeing a magical creature, not a physical being. Like in cryptozoology,
right,
when we talk to people like Lauren Coleman, we speak of creatures that exist in this place and time, only we haven't discovered the species yet. We haven't figured out what a Bigfoot is. But now when they start appearing in people's rooms and maybe they're not fully visible, they're partly transparent, we're talking about a magical creature, something that may not be of this reality?
Right. It could be transdimensional. It could be, you know, what my Native American friends call spirit animals. It could be something we just don't even begin to comprehend. But it doesn't mean that it's necessarily the same phenomenon as these creatures that trot around out in the woods and gather up roadkill and just tend to want to really scare people but don't really have any true human attributes.
Do they go after people to attack them, or is it just a happenstance you see them and they go on their way doing their thing?
This is one of the amazingly consistent things over 20 years and the hundreds of reports that I've received. And at no time, with the exception of one man in Quebec, and he thinks it was an accident, one of these things lunged at him, grazed his hip and side with one of its fangs and left kind of a long jagged scar that he sent me a picture of, which I have no way of proving if that's really what made it. But other than that, people have met these things out in the open, in the woods, you know, on lonely lovers' lanes, other places. They've jumped out at them, even chased them. But just when people think that they're about to be eaten or attacked or whatever, it invariably veers off into the nearest underbrush or cornfield or whatever happens to be there. It appears more interested in scaring people away from its territory than it does in actually wanting to, you know, attack and eat somebody.
They don't want to pick a fight, or maybe just we're not something that's on their menu.
They don't
want to go to the people restaurant. They want to go to the deer restaurant.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, some of my Native American friends have told me, well, actually, these creatures and Bigfoot, both of which were known to their distant ancestors, are older in origin than humans, and that they have some ancient business with us that really forbids them from eating us. But then you go to certain Native American legends, and they regard these Bigfoot, at least, as cannibals. So who knows exactly?
Well, I know one of the things that our own Christopher O'Brien has done over the years, he's gotten close with Native Americans who tell him about all the legends. Chris, maybe pursue this line of question about the origins of the legends of a werewolf from the American Indian point of view.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I personally have not really encountered any sort of oral tradition that relates to you know, a wolfman or a dogman type creature. They do tend to be sighted, though. I think, and Linda will probably bear me out, they are sighted around Indian reservations and on Indian reservations.
Yes.
The only case that I personally have really been involved with, and it was only peripherally monitoring the people that were investigating the case, was up on the Mountain Ute Indian Reservation up near Fort Deschenes, and there was an event that occurred in 2009, which I've mentioned on the show before, where this dogman, as it was described, was seen leaping from house to house, you know, the way reservation housing, they're all cookie cutter and they're about 20 feet apart. And this thing was able to leap 20, 25 feet from rooftop to rooftop in front of a number of witnesses.
So it was able to leap tall buildings in a single
bound. Exactly.
Sorry, and, the devil made me do that.
Yeah, I knew you were going to probably chime in with that one. And the other case from, you know, this is up around the Sherman Ranch, the Hunt for the Skinwalker Ranch case. And the other case, I think, was mentioned in that book, where the ranching family observed one of these dog men leaning up against a tree smoking a cigarette, which I always found just to be incredibly fascinating. What a interesting detail. But in terms of actual crypto creature, I'm really not aware of and Linda has done obviously a lot more research in this than I have, and she'll probably have correct me here, but I'm not aware of any real legends that mention that. Now, there are legends from your part of the world up there, you know, the Ojibwe, Anishinaabe area of the Wendigo, which is more of a Bigfoot-type creature and cannibalistic, I might add. But it doesn't have that canine or wolf-like the description of it. They're very fast, very, very big.
We have more wolf-like stuff to cover. So much more with Linda Godfrey. Speaking with Gene and Chris. And Chris is not going to howl here, by the way.
Oh!
I take that back. You're in.
Nice.
The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Vote for radio. You know, right now, so many people are trying to get themselves elected. Not a day goes by I don't see a billboard, or get a mailer, or a flyer, or receive a phone call from a politician of some sort. All politicians have something to say, so why don't they say it? That's right, say it, here on the radio. That way, voters could hear the emotion in their voices and hear the passion they might have to serve the public as an elected official. You know what, politicians and campaign managers? Radio can do that for you. Here on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, you can target voters with an affordable radio campaign that might help you get elected by using a medium where your competition may not be. Radio. And advertising on GCN is more affordable than you might think. Learn more. Visit GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email. advertise@GCNlive.com. That's advertise@GCNlive.com. Vote for radio.
Is this what your bedroom sounds like at night? What if you could stop the snoring instantly without nose strips, mouth guards, or a procedure? Now you can with Snorebreak. Snorebreak is a patented liner for your pillow that's guaranteed to reduce you or your partner's snoring from the very first night. The secret is the soothing oils infused into Snorebreak that improve breathing while you're asleep. It's the same technology used in hospitals to stop snoring, available for your home for the first time ever. Snorebreak is soft and virtually undetectable, and in the largest survey of its kind, Snorebreak reduced snoring for an amazing 74% of participants. For a limited time, you can try Snorebreak risk-free before it's in stores. Put an end to snoring. Get your risk-free trial of Snorebreak while supplies last. Just call 1-800-475-5481. That's 1-800-475-5481. 5481. Call 1-800-475-5481.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Chris is getting his howling voice back. It was a little bit rough before because he had a long night, got up late, and didn't have time for his vocal cords to acclimate themselves. Well, do you understand what I'm saying? Because I don't.
I'm going to make a cup of coffee right now.
Well, I should do that. We have Linda Godfrey talking about werewolves. But not in addition to Native American legends, when you talk about Anubis and the gods of Egypt, how far back can we trace any legend of a man-wolf, a werewolf, or whatever?
Well, if you go by just were predators of all different types, you can find representations of them back in some of the earliest cave art and earliest civilizations, all the way back to old Anatolia, which is now present-day Turkey. You know, so as far as we know, this association and idea of predators that walked upright is extremely ancient. And they're recently in the U.S. from Atherton Canyon in Montana. They have actually found some ancient petroglyphs and other sorts of Native American art that show an upright wolf in one case. And they also show pictographs of men perhaps performing a transformative act by wearing wolf hat and wolf tail moccasins and that sort of thing. And that's, you know, very ancient art. So I think that you can take this idea way back.
Indeed. Now, one of the things we think about werewolves, we go back to the original movie, The Wolfman, in 1941, with Lon Chaney Jr. as Larry Talbot in The Wolfman. Of course, it was a fiction story, a fantasy fiction story. It was the classic Hollywood depiction. And even then, in the first movie, it's not at all clear that it required a full moon, although that was implied. It didn't say full moon, it was the autumn moon.
Right.
Is bright. And those legends. Now, is that something that was developed strictly for that film, or was it based on any kind of folklore?
Pretty much, you know, because that whole line about even the man who says his prayers at night, people think that that's a true old gypsy curse, but it was made up by the writers and producers, you know, as and most of the lore, having to be bitten to become one, you know, that's a fairly new concept. Back in ancient times, it was considered more of a magical transformation, and you'd need certain unguent, you would need a wolf fur belt or girdle to change. The silver might have come from a certain incident in France where a beast was rumored to have been finally killed when they took the consecrated silver chalice from a church and melted it down to make bullets. And then because those were holy consecrated bullets, they killed it. And somehow that got translated into silver bullets.
Of course, therefore, the Lone Ranger, who used silver bullets, was really looking for werewolves. You see, they got the legend screwed up.
Right. Hollywood just keeps adding and adding to the legends, and then people get confused and take those for real things. And I'll tell you, I do have people who write to me and claim to be actual, true, traditional werewolves that have to be chained up in their basement every full moon, you know, and they try not to bite people but have this urge to do so. And I do have a standard challenge, which is please, next time that happens, just set up your video camera on a tripod and set it somewhere where you can't get at it with your chains and tape the transformation for me and send it to me. And nobody has. And the reason I know this doesn't happen is because, really, it would be all over YouTube by now.
Well, if there was a transformation, yes, we'd catch it. All the things we know about werewolves now dates back to Kurt Seidmack, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. He was a German science fiction novelist and screenwriter who came to Hollywood and wrote so many of those science fiction and horror films.
Exactly, right. He's the one who made up the so-called Gypsy Curse, you know, that many people think was real, but it was written by him. And, as I said, we have him to thank for a lot of these other traditions.
By the way, in the UFO field, he is the person who wrote the film Earth versus the Flying Saucers from the 1950s, the one with the Ray Harryhausen animated special effects. That was the one where they bought Major Kehoe's book, one of Major Kehoe's books, I think Flying Saucer Conspiracy, and they turned it into a standard Invaders on the Loose kind of film to Kehoe's embarrassment.
Oh, and that's too bad.
Yeah, this guy wrote the script. He wrote some amazing, just to look at the stuff he wrote, because he lived to like 98 years old. And look at his stuff. He wrote films from the early 20s through the 60s. Some of the famous science fiction horror films. He wrote all those Universal, most of those Universal horror films. You know, he's an amazing writer with an amazing legacy. And he colored our perceptions of werewolves.
Exactly. Yeah. He just had so much impact on the pop culture concept of a werewolf that's what people think of, you know, in their minds, you know. And I just have to say that is not what probably 95% of people who report to me are seeing. It's a different thing, and it's amazingly consistent. You'd expect if people were making things up that these things would vary wildly from report to report, but they don't. And they very seldom sound like something that came out of a Hollywood movie.
That's so interesting, because sometimes in the paranormal you see pop culture influencing what you see and the nature of what you see. We see this in UFOs. But with man-wolves, werewolves, it's consistent through the centuries?
Well, through the 21st and late 20th century anyway. It's hard to say. When you go back to medieval tales of werewolves, they really don't even sound like the ones we're seeing now. They're mostly not on their hind legs. They're mostly running around on four legs and indistinguishable from a regular wolf. It's more that the person who was suspected of turning into a werewolf, in fact, was often said to be sleeping safely someplace while a spirit animal went out from him that looked exactly like a regular wolf. And if that wolf was shot at or injured, say somebody shot it in the leg, then they would find a corresponding wound on the sleeping person.
So basically it was like a duplicate or carbon copy of yourself?
Sort of. A lot of people believe that we have a couple layers of spirit bodies, the lowest one being called the astral body, and then there's, you know, a finer grade. And that some people believe through mental discipline, yoga techniques, meditation, some people and shamans of all cultures practice this, that they're able to use this spirit energy to send forth a manifestation that other people can see, and sometimes that even separates from them and sort of goes its own way. In Tibetan lore, it's called a tulpa, you know, and there have been examples written about in this way. And actually, I've researched a lot of Native American literature about shape-shifting and that sort of thing, and what I'm really coming away with is that they don't seem to be saying that their entire bodies are completely changing molecule by corpuscle by atom, but that they are projecting, and I've even found at least one text that uses that very word, they're projecting this animal image from their own bodily energy. Or there are some that would say that they take it from a spirit world manifestation that sort of, or a nature spirit, maybe would be a better way to put it, that sort of permeates.
So if this creature is being projected, the original person is projecting it, he or she is sleeping or meditating or something like that?
Either that, or I've read some things where they're sort of running around with this projection covering them, kind of like a spirit animal suit.
Yeah.
That looks real to the eye.
That would be a classic, in the Dene tradition, a skinwalker.
Skinwalker, exactly.
Yeah, yep. When I referred to my not knowing of any sort of cryptozoological legends about Wolfman or Dogman, that's not to say that there are traditions of shapeshifters, of black adepts and shamans that are able to either mask their appearance with an animal visage, or as you say, project some sort of energy out there. And this is a very prevalent belief in the Southwest.
Yes.
And there have been some, I digress here for a moment, but I remember I did a chapter in my book, Stalking the Tricksters, and there is a chapter in there on werewolves. And I was able to find some pretty interesting stories that go all the way back to the ancient Greeks. I think Virgil in his book, Satyricon, mentions a guy that one of the characters that transforms into a wolf.
We're going to transform into something else.
Okay.
If we don't do this break. And I don't want to tell you what that is. We're going to translate, I think, into fired. We'll send Donald Trump here and say, you're fired. Linda Godfrey joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Many Americans suffer from digestive problems, often totally unaware they're not absorbing essential nutrients from foods and supplements. Dr. Peter Glidden is aware of the importance of healing a damaged digestive system.
Now, the product that I'm going to talk about today, Mackie Plus, and it is a combination of a superfruit, the Mackie berry, and aloe vera juice. Now, aloe vera is a very interesting nutritional supplement to talk about because aloe vera, you know, it's the stuff that you put on your skin if you get a burn. And, man, it really knocks down the pain, the inflammation of the burn, and facilitates healing. Well, guess what? It does the same thing internally that it does externally to burns.
To soothe and heal your digestive system, order Mackie Plus today by calling 855-347-3696. That's 855-347-3696. Or on the web at FireYourMDNow.com. That's FireYourMDNow.com.